Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Young, Beautiful, Successful. It's a podcast about Ariana Grande, and I'm your host, Gabby. Last week, we had Maya, aka Kyoshi Warrior from YouTube, who was known for her Positions album reaction video that went viral thanks to Ariana Grande noticing it. It was really cool talking to her, so check out that episode if you haven't already. Today, I'm talking to my friend Emily, who is a writer, has interviewed Macy Gray from the Dangerous Woman album and written a few other Ariana pieces that we get into and talk about today. And we just talked about women's sexuality and 3435, and it was really exciting. So before we get into it, make sure you are subscribed. A little 5 stars never hurt anyone. So leave me a 5-star review, please. If you're listening on Apple, hit the follow button. If you're listening on Spotify, and follow the podcast at Ariana Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and now TikTok. I just started the TikTok this last week, so it's been really fun. I've already grown to 1,000 followers on TikTok, which is really quick compared to the other podcast social accounts that I've done. So this is really exciting. So let's just get into the interview with Emily. I've been drinking coffee. Okay, so today I'm joined by Emily, who's a writer, editor, and producer. Welcome, Emily.
Hi, G baby.
I'm so happy to have you, especially because I know you're a big Ariana Grande fan.
Yeah, this is awesome.
What would you say are your general thoughts on Ariana and what you like about her?
My general thoughts are I love her evolution, and I love how she's grown so much over the decade that we've grown up with her. From like, you know, TV star to someone who's really like opened up about her life and lived her life so publicly and let us in. I love that she's so vulnerable about everything, but at the same time has maintained a bit of privacy, especially recently. I think that when her heart breaks, like, our heart kind of breaks with her. So there's just like so much relatability, even though she's like one of the least relatable people. I think that there's just so much that people can see in themselves in her.
I love that. That was so beautiful. So true.
Yeah.
So if you know the show, when I have a guest that tweets a lot, I like to go through their tweets.
Oh, God.
And so we're going to do it a little differently than with you, Emily, which I'll explain. But first of all, I learned that you, from your Twitter, I learned that you went to an Ariana Grande concert by yourself.
Oh my gosh. Two. I went to two by myself. Yeah. I went to the Dangerous Woman tour by myself, and what was the one before that?
Honeymoon?
It wasn't Honeymoon. Yeah. Yeah, I went to that by myself as well, covering both I covered one show for MTV and one for Live Nation.
Wow.
And it was like the best experience ever. Like, I seriously go to show. Well, we can't now, but go to shows by yourself. I advocate for it because I think you can get like more emotional about it.
I love that.
Yeah.
When I was going through your tweets, I found that you had a thread of every single Ariana Grande article that you have written. And there's a lot. So we're going to, instead of going through your tweets, we're going through some headlines.
Okay.
Because it's pretty interesting. Because you've been writing about Ariana for years, truly years.
Yeah.
So this first one is MTV News, December 2014. This photo of Ariana Grande dodging a Victoria's Secret model is priceless.
Oh my gosh, that article went viral. Like, I wrote that at like 5 a.m. after I checked Ariana Grande Getty like every single day. And I remember that was like such a huge like viral moment.
I know, it was such a crazy meme.
Yeah.
That photo of her. For those who don't know, she makes a crazy face dodging the huge Victoria's Secret angel wings. And I was watching the video of her medley, and I think they kind of edited out that moment for the actual show.
Definitely.
So it's funny that the photos revealed what really happened.
Yeah, I love that. And that face is just like so her.
Yeah, it's hilarious. And she played it off really well. I have what she tweeted about it. Let me pull it up.
Yeah, I forget what her reaction was, but like, oh man.
She said, a Victoria's Secret angel accidentally smacked me in the face with her wings and it was awesome. Hashtag goals, hashtag bang bang into my face.
Bang bang into my face. Yeah, I remember that. And I think that's kind of like predicting what would happen with like the Mean Girls reference for Thank You Next when she was like, and it was awesome. You know, the Regina George part.
Yeah, that's so true. Oh my gosh. Very clever. Okay, next one. So for Billboard, you wrote how this guy ended up making out on the hood of a car in Ariana Grande's Everyday video.
Yeah, that guy was fun.
Basically, that video is Ariana singing and all different people are making out around her.
Yeah, I love that video because, I mean, the guy that I talked to said that he was making out for like hours.
Oh my gosh.
He said that Ariana was just like such a professional, but just also so goofy of the situation that they were in because she was just like dancing around on the top of a car. I love her dancing in that video. Mm-hmm. While like there's just this ridiculous makeout session happening in front of her. It's just a celebration of love.
It really was. So good.
So good.
Another interesting thing about you, Emily, is that for Fuse, you actually interviewed Macy Gray.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
After she did the collaboration with Ariana for Leave Me Lonely on Dangerous Woman. So what was it like talking to Macy Gray?
Wow, I just like can't believe like these memories that you're bringing back. talking to Macy Gray was like such an honor. Yeah, she's such an epic artist. It was interesting talking to such a vet in the industry where she was talking about how the collab came together and how much that like Ariana respected her work and how, you know, a lot of collaborations, they do come together within the label and all that stuff. So I loved hearing her take on all of that, but she's just like, she's just a legend. And then like it was around the same era that she wrote a song like about her vibrator. And I was like, you know what? I feel like Ariana would like really appreciate this. So yeah, that was a good interview. I love that.
Love that.
You're no good for me, darling. Yeah, you turn me away. Like I'm begging for a dime.
Okay, last one is a funnier one, also for MTV News 2015. 11 times Ariana Grande almost died. And basically, this article is so funny. You pulled like every single tweet and post where Ariana says, like, I almost died.
Yeah.
There's some really funny ones in here.
Yeah, I think that I want to, someday I want to do an update on that article because that was, what, 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And there's been so many other times where she said that. And I honestly wonder if she's seen it sometimes because I think it's a kind of a joke within the fandom that she started to say that phrase, like overuse it too much. Mm-hmm. And so she continues to do it to this day. And I want to update it with like 10 more examples.
Yeah. Just the other day, because it's announced that she's going to be in Mariah Carey's Christmas special and they're doing a song together for Christmas. And when they finally announced it, she tweeted, "I almost died, but I'm okay."
Oh my God, that's sick. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into talking about the present after that trip down memory lane. So are you enjoying the new album, Positions? You're a longtime fan. So what did you think of the new album?
Yeah, I think it's a nice album to like be in love to. Mm-hmm. It's very horny, which I enjoy. I like the sounds of it. I do kind of agree with one criticism that was like, oh man, I forget who said it, but they were saying it does sound like one long, like slow-mo cinematic world. Mm. And it does feel that way because I sometimes will put it on and then I'll come out of it like five songs later and be like, wait, where did the time go? Where did these five songs go? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I think it's a good growth for her. It's a good progression for her. You know, she's able to like have fun and be goofy on some songs, but also be the same vulnerable woman that we've known in these past few albums, and also kind of have this like aspirational confidence that mm-hmm. we all wish that we had.
Yeah.
And I think that's what fans really like about it.
Yeah, definitely.
How are you liking it?
I'm really liking it. I feel like I was listening to it a lot the first few weeks. I feel like I've taken a little bit of a break the last week.
Yeah.
But I really like it. I think that I like the horny songs, like mm-hmm. you were saying. And I wonder like if it hadn't been quarantine times, I feel like Love Language or like Motive would have maybe been bigger, or just there would have been like some cool performances on TV or something.
Yeah. So. I think that, I think maybe this might be akin to Taylor Swift's Folklore, whereas there might not be as much radio play potential on this one, but it allows the artist to just kind of like make music that they love and not have to worry about, oh, is this going to be a single? Oh, is this going to hit number one? Which like it did, but not have to worry about so much the like money aspect of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I like that. I like that she's like able to just worry about like the artistry.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. 3435.
Yeah.
So this is the new single and the video came out this week. I do want to talk about a few conspiracy theories first.
Okay. So I haven't been into the stan culture as much. So you'll have to like help me with the conspiracies.
Okay. So there's like two conspiracy theories, I guess, about 3435. And that basically have to do with Tekashi 6ix9ine, because this album starts with, the first song is Shut Up and the second song is 34 plus 35.
No way.
As we know, Ariana and 6ix9ine and Justin Bieber kind of had that drama in May around Stuck With You about which one of their songs was going to hit number one.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Yep.
So some people say that that was like a clever dig at 6ix9ine. And then Doja Cat was on live and sang like a 3435 verse where one of the lines was like, I want to 6ix9ine without Tekashi or something like that. And
Doja Cat said that.
Yeah. And it was like with a verse that like would have fit into the 3435. So some people say that like Doja Cat's verse was originally supposed to be on 3435, but then since she mentioned 6ix9ine, they made her do a different verse for a different song.
I don't know about that, Daddy. I think that, I mean, Ariana can be like, she's human. Like, she might have a petty side, but I really don't think she cares about him. Like,
mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people say too. That's definitely the biggest counter argument.
Right? Like, I don't think she cares about what anyone thinks, really.
Yeah.
I mean, the first song says it all. Like, just shut up.
Yeah.
She doesn't care about she has your opinions muted, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's like that much thought into it.
Yeah.
With the 69, I think it was just a horny play on words / numbers, you know? The Doja Cat thing. I don't know. She's always stoking the fire, so I don't really have a comment on that. But yeah, I'm not sure about the conspiracy theory, but that's very interesting.
Yeah. So that's what the streets are saying right now, but let's get into the video. So this is Ariana's first time working with Director X, who was mentored by Hype Williams. And he recently did the pop star video for Justin Bieber and has done a lot of other iconic videos, Hotline Bling, Conaltura. So I think everyone's really excited to see Ariana work with him. What did you think of the video?
Yeah, I love it. I think that it's definitely an amalgamation of all of Ariana, which is kind of this record. It's a little bit of the problem music video with the 60s mod, white background, kind of geometric patterns.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of Break Free with the Fembot, Barbarella, you know, futuristic vibe. It's a little bit of Thank You Next, where there's a storyline and she's able to show off her goofy comedic side, which I love. I think those are my favorite. I love this because it shows off her like sexy side.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the scene where she does the split, like, I don't know, like 69 times.
Yeah, that's my favorite part as well.
But at the same time, I love when she's doing the whole character of the mad scientist, the Frankensteining the Fembot character, and then she becomes the Fembot character, and I love that they put at the end that little behind the scenes clip of just like how that came together.
Yeah,
seems like it was a very good collaboration to have Director X in there.
Yeah, definitely. I love that part where they're the scientist, and she's like, "I think I've got it." You see her really show her goofy side, which is really funny.
Yeah, and you could tell that she's such a lover of movies. It's always been like that from day one. But you can tell that she's kind of inspired by all of the stuff that she watches, and she's trying to like make it her own.
Yeah, definitely. And there were also some discussion about how it kind of continues like the powerful woman theme of the Positions music video, that she was the president and then now she's like a scientist with a whole woman science crew, which is kind of exciting. And they all look so hot in their white coats, and it's kind of like sexy scientists, but I loved it.
Yeah, I think that the cast was also really important in the 34-35 video, just showing those people in like positions of power.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Definitely.
Is it the same cast or no as the Positions video?
I think it was different.
Yeah, okay. I didn't pay attention.
And then the Fembots, I did not understand that it was the Austin Powers reference at first.
Oh my gosh, you're so young.
I watched that back in the day, but so long ago. And I feel like I need to rewatch Austin Powers.
Yeah, and she pretty much has the same exact outfit.
Yeah.
I love it.
So funny. And then the dance that you were mentioning, the split, Ariana, very flexible. She's done the splits multiple times.
Very flexible.
And then this is kind of, I don't think it will be as big, but this is kind of becoming the new like WAP dance on TikTok right now.
Is it really?
Like, yeah, people are doing it and doing the splits. So many people, that's what makes me so surprised about like the WAP dance or 34-35 or just any dance with the split. So many people are able to do the split so easily. It's very impressive.
I don't understand because I have been trying. I mean, I took dance for so long when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. And I was never like, when you're a kid, you're the most flexible. And even then I couldn't even do it. I think it's honestly, most of it's probably just genetics.
Yeah.
But it does take a lot of work to do it. And she nails it. Yeah. Like, oh my God. And then the clock move when she's like moving her. Oh my gosh. I can't even.
I know.
And the fact that it's becoming a TikTok dance makes so much sense.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, I am in awe of all everyone who has the ability to do that. And you should show it off if you know what I mean. If you can, do it. Do it up.
Yes.
Are you going to try it? Are you going to do it?
I did try it. I just can't do the split, so it wasn't as impressive, but I was able to learn it.
Okay.
It's fun.
Yeah, and you also need like a slippery floor, which would be helpful.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting that this year in music we've had WAP and then Ariana releases this more sexual album. It's just kind of interesting that that has all become, I guess it's become more acceptable just because they're doing it, but there just kind of been more barriers broken, I guess.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier today, actually. How explicit Ariana is on that song and other songs on this album. And that's kind of like when I remember when WAP came out. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, this is groundbreaking to have a woman talk about her sexuality in such a graphic way. Mm-hmm. Even though women in hip hop have been doing that for many, many years. But I'm trying to recall, and maybe your listeners can correct me, but I think that in pop, that is definitely not the case. Mm. I didn't think that 34-35 was going to be a single or even have a music video because it was about 69ing. Are we allowed to swear?
Yeah, you can say.
Okay,
yeah.
Can we say? Okay. But I'm glad that it was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think that we have seen a major pop star be quite this like horny and call out specific sex positions in a song before and name the song after it before. And I know this is like mostly an R&B album, but she is a pop star, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's crazy. And then like on top of it, like I said, WAP, people have been explicit like that before. But the same thing, Cardi B is like the same level of like pop stardom. And to get that into the mainstream feels like it is kind of like a moment, you know,
yeah,
in pop culture.
Definitely. That's interesting what you're saying about pop. I guess because I feel like pop stars have had songs about sex, but it's just always veiled in a more acceptable way.
It is always veiled, but she's really just saying like fuck me to the daylight.
Yeah.
She just says that, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, other artists will just be like, you know, let's or you know, One Direction will be like up all night or something. You know, they won't say it the same way.
Yeah.
I love that. And it's just another way, especially as someone who's grown up in the spotlight and had a kid's show, you know, she's just declaring her independence even more and celebrating her sexuality. And I think that allows her listeners to see the same in themselves. Like, hey, like you can just be just as sexual as the guys can.
Yeah. So true. I think especially something that I was thinking a lot about with all the discussion about this being her most sexual album is that she's dated all of these guys like Mac Miller, Big Sean, who've all made songs about having sex with her.
Yep.
And so it's kind of like, it's fine and very graphic. Like I would say Cinderella by Mac Miller, like directly is talking about having sex with her. And it's like very graphic, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's fine for them to talk about her, but then when she's talking about it in the first person is when everyone is shocked.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Gabby. And I also think that since this current guy is kind of out of the spotlight, like we don't hear his voice at all.
Yeah.
That is also powerful in itself. Like, she is the only one representing this relationship right now.
Right.
Whereas in the past, she's only, you know, with the exception of, like, Ricky, I think that all of her other boyfriends have been artists with platforms themselves.
Yeah.
Like, no shade, Ricky, sorry. But, yeah, so I think for her to be able to, like, tell her story in her own words, whether they're graphic or not, is really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a good point.
Okay. Any other thoughts about positions or 3435?
My thoughts are just that I love to continue to see what she does. I'm so glad that she put this out during this time. I think any time an artist kind of defies the normal album rollout is so good for me, especially in quarantine when, you know, you just want to feed your fans, and we're so grateful. I remember I'm also a big Swiftie, as I might have alluded to before, but like when that album came out, I cried. When I found out that when I found out that Positions was coming out, I remember like chatting you right away. It gives us something to like live for, almost. Music really, really has pulled us out of some bad situations this year.
True.
So I'm grateful that she was able to put it out. I know that she said she didn't want to put music out in quarantine, but you know, I don't know if there's an end to this situation. And then I'm also like happy for, I'm glad that she continues to work with her friends, you know, like Taylor and Victoria and Social House are all on there and everything. But I'm glad that she was also able to hire some, like, you know, like old school R&B producers, along with like the new school, like Cam Parker. But then like also work with like Ty Dolla $ign and The Weeknd again.
Yeah.
And learn some stuff there. I do want her, I will say, I do want her to do more experimenting with the next one. And I hope that she continues to just like put music out whenever she wants, because that's always a gift for us. I loved when she worked with Pharrell on, oh my God.
Sweetener.
Thank you. Quarantine Brain. But yeah, I would like to see a lot more stuff like that, like more experimental stuff. I think that's when she really like got into her own.
Definitely.
I know I'm rambling right now, but I have so many thoughts about her. I love that she continues to grow as an artist and as a songwriter, as a vocal producer, everything. I'm just like so happy to watch the evolution.
Yeah, definitely. Since you brought up Taylor Swift, I do want to ask you a Swiftie question, since you're a big fan. It's interesting in this conversation, Taylor hasn't had many sexual songs at all in her career. And I think I remember False God came out, and that was kind of seen as her first time really addressing sex. I don't know. Just what do you think about that? Or do you think Taylor ever will? Or do you think, I don't know.
I do. And like Dress, I feel like was a sexual song, or she was like, you know, take my dress off. But what, I think, oh man, I don't know what your Swiftie crossover audience is on this podcast, so I'm not trying to make anyone mad. I don't think that she could pull it off in the same way that Ariana does. But they're different artists, you know? Like, I can't really compare them anyways. But, yeah, I think that's something that Taylor also works on as well. It's like, how can I evolve from this artist from when I was 16 to now when I'm over 30, and how can I encapsulate everything that it means to be a woman in today's society and not censor myself, but also have some privacy? And how do I write about everything? Like, you know, how do you represent yourself as an artist? It's definitely a struggle, and big props to those who can do it.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I think that's all my questions for you, Emily.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy that we were able to talk about this. I have so many thoughts and feelings.
Okay, where can the people find you?
Okay, the people could find me definitely on Twitter at Emily Lindner, EmilieLandner. And that's it. Like, stay out of my life otherwise. I'm just kidding. But yeah, okay, Twitter.
Thank you so much, Emily.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun.
Okay, I want to thank Emily again for calling into the podcast. It was so great talking to her. I felt like everything she said was so insightful and thoughtful. So I loved speaking with her. And as always, make sure you're subscribed or following wherever you're listening to the podcast. Leave a 5-star review and follow at Ariana Podcast, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And I'll see you next time for another episode of Young, Beautiful, Successful. Bye. Peace.